We are grateful that you are here this morning. We welcome our visitors. Come back and be with us as you have opportunity. I encourage you to especially take one of the worship bulletins. There's a lot of information on the back about the work in Ufa and other information. A lot goes into the development of this worship bulletin to try to give you as much information as possible and keep our announcements as short as possible in our services. And we encourage you to take one with you, take it home with you, and have that information with you. Judy is making progress. She and I thank you for every expression of kindness that you have shown in our direction. She hopes to be at the 10 o'clock service this morning. One of the first words that we begin using with our little ones is the word no, especially when they get to where they're able to walk and get into everything. It's no, 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 no. They hear that word often. They hear it early in life. And as we get older, we use that word a great deal. We have a tendency to tell people what not to do. And granted, the Bible has a lot to say about what not to do. Most of the Ten Commandments were thou shalt nots, and many of the teachings of Jesus were no-nos, telling us what not to do. With the younger generation down through the years, especially the last several years, we've emphasized to them that they need to learn to say no. Sometimes we'll ask the question, what part of no don't you understand? I remember a few years ago that there was a bumper sticker, very short one, simply said, just say no. I want to suggest to you this morning that perhaps the best way to say no is to say yes. That's probably a statement of paradox. Sounds as if there's a contradiction. But listen for a few minutes and let's think about it. I really believe that the best way to say no is to say yes. I want us to think about it in three areas of thought this morning: our worship to God, our relationships in marriage, and life in general. When we begin talking about worship to God, many times we talk about negatives and we say no's. We say no to missing the assembly. We certainly emphasize that we believe that there is a problem when people willfully miss the assemblies of worship to God. We say no to misbehaving. If someone young or old misbehaves in the worship service, we believe that that's a problem, and sometimes we'll talk about it and tell people that it is wrong to misbehave in worship to God, and certainly it is. And we say no to having a boring attitude or being bored as we worship God, not getting anything out of it. Do you know all of those would be overcome if we would learn to say yes to what God has really taught about the subject of worship? You remember, I'm sure, that David said back in Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you and I can say yes to the development of the right attitude toward worship, the development of the right desire to worship, won't that take care of the no as far as missing assemblies is concerned? A person who is in love with the Lord, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Matthew 22:37, Luke's account adds the strength. If we say yes to love for God and we develop the kind of love that we really ought to have for God, we put him first, we really fall in love with him, just like we might fall in love with a person. And we really say yes to our love for God and our desire to please him and our desire to be reverent to him and our desire to praise him. Won't that take care of the no's as far as neglect and failure to worship him are concerned? We've emphasized Hebrews 10:25 a great deal down through the years, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And we preach about that, we teach about it, and we say no to forsaking the assembly using that verse. But it's interesting that the verse just before it, Hebrews 10:24, says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. If you and I consider each other and we enjoy being with one another and we enjoy coming together to stir us up, to provoke, to love, love God, love each other, to good works, to be involved in the community and among ourselves and serving one another, if we emphasize that and we say yes to considering one another to love and good works, to provoke to love and good works, won't that pretty well take care of the problem that one might have of forsaking the assembling, coming together as far as the church is concerned? Sometimes we talk about the no when it comes to false doctrine. And certainly we are to oppose false doctrine. We are to contend for the faith and we are to defend the faith. But don't you think the best way to say no to false doctrine is to say yes to the teaching of the Bible? Vain worship is described in Mark 7, verse 7. And the vain worship is described as teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he says that they were teaching traditions, such as the washing of pots and cups and pans and things like that. But right in the middle of those verses is the little statement that they were rejecting the commandments of God. They were going away from the commandments of God, and then that got them into these problem areas. I'm convinced that the best way to teach against false doctrine is to teach true doctrine. The best way to condemn error is to teach truth. Now, don't misunderstand me. We may have to identify error sometimes in order to recognize it. The Bible does that. Jesus did that. He was the one who was talking there in Mark 7, 5 through 9. But one of the best ways to meet error is to teach the truth. If we teach people what they need to do to go to heaven, we are automatically teaching them how to avoid hell. If we teach them what is necessary to become a Christian, we're automatically meeting the false doctrines relative to the plan of salvation. If we teach yes to the observance of the Lord's Supper and to singing and all other areas of our worship, we are in doing that identifying what is wrong by teaching what is right. Yes, I really believe that the best way to say no is to say yes. If each one of us, think about it, if each one of us could develop a true love for God, a true desire to worship, an interest in encouraging one another to love and good works, do you think we would ever consider missing any assembly that we could reasonably attend? The best way to say no is to say yes. This principle applies in our relationships in the home. We do not need to take the time, I think, this morning to identify the fact that we have problems facing the family throughout the world, in our nation, and even in the church. Divorce is rampant. People having problems even when there is no divorce. Extramarital affairs, and in many instances, even where people are together and do not violate the sanctity of the marriage vows, there is not happiness in the home. Sadness in the relationships, not getting along, maybe even at each other's throats in a sense, in that relationship in the family. Well, certainly we need to say no to all of those things. God says no to divorce. He hates divorce, Malachi says. Jesus says no to being involved with someone else other than one spouse. We believe clearly the Bible teaches that that is sin, that when one is involved sexually with anyone other than one spouse, that it is sin. We need to teach against that. Certainly there is a problem if the wife will not carry out her responsibilities, or if the husband will not be a good husband and a leader in the family. And we would say no to problems like that. But folks, the best way to say no to those problems is to say yes to what God has told us to do. Cleave to your partner. Man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, Matthew 19:5. Maybe we need to do a better job teaching what that means. Maybe we need to start earlier and get our younger people to thinking about it and getting them to say yes to preparation in order to be able to cleave, to hold on. You see, if you're holding on to your wife or your husband, really cleaving, you don't have much time to be involved with anybody else. Ephesians 5 says that a husband should say yes to love. Love your wife as your own body. Titus 2:4 says the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. You know, if a husband loves his wife as his own body and a wife loves her husband and loves her children, that pretty well will say no to some of these other problems that we've discussed. Because if you have both the husband and the wife at the same time loving each other like they should, and Ephesians 5:33 even pulls in the word reverence, not on the level with the reverence we have for God, but a type of reverence in that relationship, won't that pretty well take care of never even discussing divorce or separation or problems if we really love each other and cleave to each other as we should? And in 1 Corinthians 7, after in verse 2 saying to avoid fornication, say no to fornication, he came right back and said the way to do that is to say yes to due affection to each other. Husband and wife are to render due affection to each other. He says benevolence in King James, affection, I believe, in the New King James. And he says, do not withhold yourself from one another unless it's to come closer together or to come closer to God. Study those first five verses of 1 Corinthians 7. And he says the best way to say no to problems in the family is to say yes to what God has instructed us to do toward one another. Now just use a little common sense and think for a moment. If a husband is at work and away from home and he knows that his wife is waiting at home with affection for him, where is he going when he gets off work? And if the wife knows that when her husband comes home, when they get home together, he's going to come home and show affection, is she going to necessarily be looking somewhere else for that affection? There are exceptions to this, I'm sure, but I'm convinced that one of the reasons that people look elsewhere for affection is because of a lack of affection in the relationship that God has given and has approved. For the ultimate affection in marriage itself, the best way for us to say no is to say yes. And you can take all the other relationships in the family, the parent-child relationship. If there's the kind of love and respect and honor and obedience that there ought to be, if a young person, for example, really respects his parents when he's away from home, one of the things that's going to help him to say no to the temptations is saying yes to the respect that he has for dad and mother and for God and for the teaching that has been given. The best way to say no is to say yes. If you and I will busy ourselves in our family relationships with our own business, we won't have time to be involved in somebody else's business. Say yes. And Christian living in general is like that. Passage that Alex read a few minutes ago first said, no, be not conformed to this world. Then it immediately said, yes, be ye transformed. And I don't think we're stretching the point to say that the best way to not be conformed to this world is to be transformed. He says, by the renewing of your mind, and other verses would say that means to become Christ-like, to start thinking like Christ. Let your mind be centered on things that have to do with Christ. When Paul was talking about thinking in Philippians 4:8, in that passage, for example, he didn't tell them what not to think. He told them what to think. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. In other words, if you fill your mind with things like that, you won't have time to be thinking about other things. Hebrews 12, he says, we're to lay aside the weight and the sin which doth beset us. But then he says, run the race that is set before you. And I'll tell you something, if you're busy running the race, you won't have much time to think about the weight that would turn you to the side. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, Titus 2, 11 and 12, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Isn't he saying that living the right kind of life is the best way to get away from worldliness and ungodliness? I think he is. Look at the emphasis that is placed upon the positive things. The judgment scene of Matthew 25 does not tell us what not to do. Don't misunderstand me. The Bible does give us the negatives. But in that judgment scene, he says the difference in the sheep and the goats is that those on the right hand visited the sick and those in prison and fed the hungry and gave clothes to the naked and so on. And is that not saying, if we really get down to the bottom line of it, that if we busy ourselves in service to God, that we won't have much time to be thinking about stealing, murder, and immorality? I grew up on the farm. I'm thankful that I did. My dad was not a slave driver, just a little bit less. There were many times we were sitting on the side of the field when daylight came to start work. And he really had rather do 2 days' work in one if he could and get through before dark. We stayed busy. And you know, there were a lot of sins in the world that I didn't know existed till I left the farm. Because we were busy working. We were busy doing something. And every service we worshiped, and I began at 13 preaching. I honestly believe that I can say to you by experience that the best way to say no is to say yes. Some of the temptations that our young folks have today, I never had. Because my parents kept me busy doing the right thing. And I never was at the places where some of those temptations were. I really believe the best way to say no is to say yes. To be involved in living for Christ, become Christ-like in our thinking. If we think on Him, that'll keep us from thinking about the world. And if we serve Him, that'll keep us from being involved in the things that are of a worldly nature. Yes, we need to learn to say no. I know that's true. And I have no problem with that bumper sticker that said to our young people, just say no. And I'm sure that every parent has at one time or another sat down with a son or daughter as they were going to be going out on a date or for something else and said, now here are some things that you need to avoid. I know that's a part of it. But I still say the best way to say no is to say yes in worship, in our homes, and in Christian living. And folks, the best way to say no to sin is to say yes to the blood of Christ. We all make mistakes. We all need forgiveness. But the blood of Christ can take care of it. The best way to get out of the problem of sin and say no to it is to be obedient to Christ. Becoming a Christian. Repenting. Being baptized for the remission of sins. Or when we've made mistakes, repenting of them. Private if necessary. Public if necessary. And let the blood of Christ take care of our sins. By saying yes to the blood of Christ, we can say no to sin because there is power in that blood. If you're not ready to go to heaven, if you're not right with God, you need to say yes to Christ. As together we stand and sing.
You are evil, a victory win. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power.